This is iRock with Rockstars, hosted by Ryan from iRock 93.5.
We'll start with that. Who here has seen From Ashes to New before?
Let's go.
Okay.
All
right. Sorry,
how about this time? How about this time, instead of raising your hands for the audio portion of the podcast, how many of you have seen From Ashes to New before?
Just so everyone listening knows, that was six people.
All six of them, and they're all going to be there tonight as well. Welcome back, guys. You like love the Quad Cities, don't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes. And the Quad Cities making us love them.
One way or the other, it's working for you guys, for sure.
Seems forceful.
Well, last time you were here, you were, who were you with? You were with like five bands that night. It was Point North.
Oh, it's not that. Yeah, it's not that.
Oh, that's another. Yeah, you were there at this one too.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got to give you guys a break, huh?
Yeah. No. It's up to them. I mean, they're the ones, you know, buying the tickets. So as long as they keep buying them and showing up, you're going to keep showing up, right?
Overtime is healthy in the Quad Cities, huh? All right.
Yeah, now you guys are just here, but now you're back because you're just constantly on the road, aren't you?
Yes.
Feels like that.
What is home?
When is the last time you kind of took an extended break from touring?
Extended?
More than a month.
The beginning of 2023, I know that because that was the last time I was skinny.
All right, so we'll jump into that question. How's the road diet treating you then, huh?
Ass.
Terrible, yeah.
What's the first thing you grab in the morning?
Monster.
What's the last thing you grab at night?
Before bed.
Also Monster.
What is the thing you grab throughout the day?
My junk.
You guys have been doing great things. I mean, even since last time you were here in May, you know, we had an entire summer of another great song that we were playing from you guys with Barely Breathing. That really? One did. I think last time we talked, we were kind of like, yeah, we're going to put this one out and see what this does. Did all right for you, didn't it?
Did decent.
I think so.
Yeah. Huge song for us. Our biggest radio single we ever had.
Yeah.
I think in Spins Total, and there was another song that was close on the charts, but we like this one better. So we're just going to go with Barely Breathing instead.
Your songwriting process, where does that start from? Does it start with a riff? Does it start with a lyric? Does it start with a theme? Where does it start from before
seance.
You guys sit down?
We all have a seance, and we ask spirits from other realms what kind of songs we should write.
You can do that in the basement here, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny has a Ouija board, really old one. That. Has monster stains on it.
That's what writes all of our lyrics.
Yeah. Nice. It's not even us. I don't know who. I think it's some guy named Daryl.
Perfect.
I believe.
Got to get him in here next time.
Yeah. He's also cursing our buses.
It really could start from anywhere. Sometimes, like, Lance might bring, like, a majority of a song to the table. We're like, sweet, this is really cool. Other times it's a melody or a riff. It's really just about wherever, you know, the inspiration is sparked from. There was one time I was working on a song, and then I had some riff, and I was like, screw this song. I'm going to go write something else for this riff, something completely, entirely different. It was one of the things that I was like most proud of recently writing. So it all just is a matter of being decisive and just when you feel that spark, just chasing whatever it is that sparked it and then going from there.
So everybody in here is a winner just in life in general, but they won their way to get in here. But there's also a lot of people who ask questions online of you guys. So I'm going to ask one of these here. It kind of goes to that. Chuck from Port Byron says, when do we expect more new music? They're always demanding. But when do we expect more new music?
Yes. When we finish it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There's no timeline right now, so I'm not going to get anyone's hopes up.
Working while on the road or just focus on the tour?
So I'm not going to try and jinx it any more than it's been crazy, but like it seems like every time we break out the gear to write on the road, the bus breaks down. It's like...
Yeah, so take some time then.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, let's write. We go in the back. We're like, hey, that was really fun. And then middle of the night, bus is broken down. Like, that happened like, what, three times? And we're like, all right, we're not doing this.
We're on our seventh bus in two tours.
Jeez.
We are tired. Two different companies. Like, it's crazy. Don't get me started. Oh, I got myself started. Here we go.
Here we go.
But that's not to say that we don't have good music in the works. We have a lot of great ideas.
Let's talk about bus companies instead.
Yeah.
They want to hear the details of the buses.
They're terrible.
Clearly.
No one takes care of their stuff, and it always falls on the artist. You know, and they rent these buses to us, and they're crap.
And we'll
we're
have
starting to look like puppets right now. Just our entire ends are just... Fisted. Did you say fisted?
I'm going to say once again, it's an audio medium. We don't have to describe what, but now we just went with it.
Danny Case, fisted on the air. It could be your show, Fisted by Danny Case.
That's a great idea.
Can we keep saying it?
Sure, why not? Okay? We're here. I mean, if we want to go down that road, Kenzie in Rock Island asked, hey, is Danny single?
Put it on your pointer finger.
No. Hold on. Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's terrible. No, I'm not. I'm married.
Actually, here's another one that I definitely want to ask. Second place Greg. He wanted to know how you decided on your intro song, Backstreet Boys.
Oh.
He said he's seen you twice, and both times Backstreet Boys played before he came on.
Because every time, everybody has a great time to that song. So, also, we were called like the boy band of metal back in 18. People were kind of making fun and poking holes at us. So, we did it to kind of just like be spiteful in a way.
Which I look to embrace moving forward. I don't think there's a bad thing about four good looking guys in a band. So, it's like
we
at first we're like, oh man, we got to do something to not be so good looking. People really don't like us.
That was our way of life.
Now it's like, wait a second. We're the best looking band in the industry. Why should we be mad about that?
We're like having fun with it. Plus, it's a great song. So
that's a great song.
I mean, I've watched at metal crowds. Everybody like stands up and dances around. Great. It gets the energy flowing. And it's
funny because on TikTok, your songs do well, but your intro song does the best. Like, who hasn't seen the TikTok video of, like, I'm at a metal show? Like, oh, metal fans are like, oh, the devil. And then it's, like, Backstreet Boys and everyone's dancing.
Yeah. And it's the best, like, polar opposite thing before we go on, so it's different.
Maddie's the OG of that, by the way. Everyone else is a copycat. Maddie started it. Mm-hmm. He's been wearing an NSYNC shirt till when?
Yeah, I was wearing an NSYNC shirt back when we were out with, like, Five Finger Them.
Well, the last time we talked, we were talking about an NSYNC / From Ashes to New shirt. How's that coming along? Because I've been checking the mail, and, like, I haven't gotten anything.
Did you not order it?
Oh, I thought I was going to be like numero uno on that.
I thought so too. What the hell?
Yeah.
We can't be friends anymore.
But anyway, we're going to put a pin in that. Talking about you guys being on tour and being on tour forever, one of the questions that I don't know who I was talking to, but when you have a night off, because you guys weren't playing last night, right? You had a night off?
No, we had a day off.
So when you guys have a night off, what do you do? Do you guys do stuff together? Do you do like a team building thing, or do you guys kind of do your own thing? Because some bands do
very
team
very
building.
Corporate.
Well, you're four good looking guys.
We trust. I mean, night.
Yeah. Are you four good looking guys that go out on the town together, or are you just four good looking guys that do your own thing and just like, you know, vibe on your own because you have a night off?
Go to the local bingo hall together,
And we just scream bingo at all the elderly people. They get really mad.
That sounds awesome.
Like, damn these kids.
I guess, I mean, it's kind of typical for the most bands, I feel like, go
do. Y'all went to do something last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to a pool hall.
No, you went somewhere else before that.
Oh,
you went to the movies.
We went to the movies. So it's like...
We went and saw Terrifier.
Yes, Terrifier 3. I thought it was great. It's very brutal and over the top, but it's great. I love it. Typically, go get food, hang out at the hotel, you're by a mall, go to the movies... Maybe some people go to bars, things like that, but nothing really too crazy.
I'm sorry. This is off topic. Is that band called the Pork Tornadoes? Okay, back on topic.
All right.
We can deep dive into that if you want.
Matt and Lance and I, we went to Cheesecake Factory, which it was actually
it was
the worst
terrible.
Cheesecake
it was terrible.
Factory we've ever had.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. It was a little sad.
It's one of our favorite meals ever. And it was
but then really, I had an acai bowl after. It was really good. So that was a pick me up.
So that's about how interesting we are.
I have like the night of a 70-year-old, typically. That's the way that I am.
I'm glad you guys made it here from the Cheesecake Factory, because usually it takes, 12 hours to read the menu. So I'm glad you got the
menu. It is a gigantic menu,
it's
right?
It's thick. It is
and
the
then
Bible
they give you
menus.
The skinny menu, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's go with this one right here. I know your answer already to this.
Okay.
What is the hardest part of the job?
The job. Was that my answer?
I thought it was going to be the boss.
Oh,
hardest part of the job. She called it a job. Stephanie did, but the hardest part of what you guys
let's
do.
Let's go down the line. Let's start with Maddie. What do you got?
I don't know. It's kind of it could be a two thing for me. For me, my situation is very different than theirs. I don't have a family back home. Besides, my family lives in Florida, but I don't have a wife or kids or anything like that. For me, it's the mental game of being out here. I'd say that sort of daily battle that you have with either insecurities or could be an onset of depression and things like that. Constant battle that I have mentally with myself is probably the hardest thing for me. But I get the reward of going up there every night and proving to myself that I'm capable of certain things by performing and playing. So it's a cool little relief.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. I'm not going to try and top that. But no, for me, it's like a little bit like I agree with Maddie on that. Like I have a family, so it's really difficult to be away from them for so long, especially like my newborn who's 7 months right now. So, you know, but I'm going to go like more literal and I'm going to go with like marketing. And it's just really difficult because there's always the story, especially like when I was a fan, there's always the story of like, oh, wow, that band was really good. Why did they not succeed or why did they disappear? And a lot of times it's, you know, band members fight each other. You get a lot of that. Or someone's just not good at marketing, or you'll hear a band and you'll go, oh wow, they're really bad. Why are they as big as they are? And typically it's because there's someone in the band who's really good at marketing. So marketing is like the end game for everything, especially nowadays. Before, like in the earlier days, it was like you had teams that marketed, and as long as the band had really good music, people were able to find it and listen to it. Now your online personalities, your, you know, influencers, your musicians, your movie stars, or whatever you got to be in a band. So it's all marketing, and whoever's the best at marketing tends up being the best. And if you look at our industry, I'll drop a couple names of people who are genius doing it. First off, Ronnie Radke is incredible at marketing. That dude is like one of the best at marketing. Regardless of what you think of the guy, like it's his thing. It's his market. Ice Nine Kills insanely good at marketing. And I can go down the list all day long, but those are the two that stick out in my head that are really, really good at it. So that's the most difficult part.
It's 24/7. I mean, it absolutely is.
Sleep Token, I Prevail, those are a couple more. Really good at marketing.
Before we keep going down the list on that, do you guys run your own and band's social media, or do you have a person for that?
No, we do. And I think that's another thing goes into it is if you have someone else doing it, it's not sincere, it's not genuine, and that doesn't cut.
Yeah.
You know, you could tell when it's like some suit running it, like, oh, thanks for messaging us. You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You mean because mine are all like, oh, hey, nice. Oh, it's good. Yeah. I hate you. You will be eviscerated.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep going on the line now. Hardest part.
Well, we're not allowed to copy answers. So let me come up with something else. It's. Okay, I got one.
Easy.
Our bus is, what, 180 square feet?
Yeah.
And there's 11 to 12 people sometimes? That's all I got to say. I'm like the cat of the group. I just want to get my stuff done in the peace and quiet that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I typically look for wherever the most people are and go elsewhere. Like, okay, everybody's hanging out in the hotel. All right, I'm hanging out in the back of the bus. Everybody's hanging on the bus. All right, I'm going up to the hotel. Everybody's in the green room. All right, I'm hanging out in the back of the bus.
Yeah, need that you time, right?
Yeah,
for sure. All right, question time from out here.
Wait, Danny didn't tell his hardest part.
Oh, I thought that was it. Bus. Okay.
No, he was just telling you how he hates people.
I can get just
go. Oh,
with
God.
It.
I can just go with that then.
I would just go with the simple, you know, being away from my wife. So there's probably a million things that make it hard. And often it's just like bus troubles, dealing with other, you know, individuals either on our team or label or whatever, where it's like it's all those things. But probably the top thing is like the wife.
Sure. 100, for sure. The family's got to be number one. Talking with enough bands, you know which ones, on a local level, I can see which ones go, okay, they want to do music. They understand what it takes to put on good music. But also, I can see the business side of their head going, this is what we have to do to grow. Then you see the other bands that it's like, you guys are really good and talented, but you're a bunch of F-ups. And you have absolutely no direction or people around you to take that next step.
You get it.
So it's getting that balance of being the rock star and being, quite frankly, the businessman. Yep. You've got to balance both of them.
There's another at you're dead on. I don't hear a lot of people hit it like you just did. There's another aspect to it. Yeah, drop the mic and leave, man. There's another aspect to it too, though. And this is like something that I learned growing up through my local scene and playing in bands in my local scene. Because I didn't just start From Ashes to New and then the next thing I know I was on the road. Like I was in bands for a decade before From Ashes to New did whatever it was doing in the beginning. But there were so many more people in the area that I came from, in every area throughout the country and world, that were more talented than I was at what they were doing. Like, I played guitar, but I wasn't really that good at it. There were so many people who could out shred me with their eyes closed. And that goes with every instrument and with everything that people are doing, but it doesn't, that's not always what it takes. Like, it takes a vision, and it takes, you know, an idea. It takes being genuine, and it takes, you know, you could be the most talented person in the world. That doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. So, like, you know, it takes a lot of what you said. Like, you really got to, like, be focused and, like, okay, what's my goal here? What am I going to do? Why am I doing it? And for me, it just came natural. Like, I was just pissed off at the world, and I wanted to write a song about it. You know, so, you know, I was pissed off at the local scene. Wanted to write a song about it. I'm like, oh, okay, you guys think that you're so good. Like, I wrote songs like Stay This Way and I Will Show You. And it was just like, okay, you guys think that you're so great at what you do. Hold on, let me show you what I can do. You know, like the dude on on Mad TV.
Yep. Stewart.
That's a reference there. Nice.
I was like, look what I can do. And they're like, oh, he can do it.
Is it easier when you're older to use a kick drum, or is it?
It depends. They make smaller ones now and more versatile ways for younger kids to play on them. But I think it's just practice over time. You find the strength and durability to play them easier. So it's just time. I don't know if it's necessarily older or younger. I think as you get certain age of older, it becomes harder again.
Would pedal tension have anything to do with it?
Pedal tension could be a big thing. Your pedal type could be another big thing. Your seat height also plays a factor. I try to stay close to like a 90 degree angle between my leg and, you know, where it's all at. But yeah, shoes sometimes can help.
Yeah, don't do it in Crocs.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it in that. I looked at your Crocs, yeah. So there's variables, but yeah.
How long you been playing drums? 1.5 years. Here you go. He's
coming. So is Maddie.
Killing it. Yeah.
He's coming. Yeah. All right, who's next? Question time. Bob, I'm coming back here.
As Ryan pointed out earlier, you guys have been on tour a lot in the last handful of years.
Mm-hmm.
So amongst everybody that you have toured with, who has been your favorite group to
Shine on three? One, two, three.
Shine down.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, who's the one group of people that you would love to have the opportunity to go out on tour with?
I thought you were going to say the actual
flip side. Who is the band that you hate?
You wanted to pick a couple?
Yeah, there's a few.
You pick one.
Yeah. Bad Omens.
Okay, that was the one I was going to pick. I'll go I Prevail.
Bring Me the Horizon. That'd be good.
You're going to make me pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're going. Just do it.
Yeah.
Avenged Falling...
Fold.
Sevenfold in reverse. Both at once.
Avenged Falling Reverse Fold.
Yes. Reverse Fold. Avenged Sevenfold Falling in Reverse. Yeah. A Day to Remember.
Yep. There's another one. Shine Down Again.
Shine Down Again.
Just want to make this the rest of it? We can just keep going?
Yeah, just keep naming bands. Yeah. Sure. Go for it.
The Pork Tender.
The Pork Tenders. The Pork Tornadoes. That sounds like a really bad horror movie. The Pork Tornado.
So I just recently discovered your cover of Bring Me to Life.
Sorry.
It wasn't that bad. I was wondering how it came about and if they told you, like Evanescence gave you their opinion on it or not.
They have not.
No.
Yeah, they didn't, did they?
No.
No.
Nope.
No opinion.
It was just, I mean, we were all locked in our houses. So we were just, I think we picked one song and then we let the fans pick the rest. And it was one that the fans picked for us to do. But yeah, I mean, we were all locked down and trying to live, and for us it was like, oh well, we had an album that we wanted to release, but we were fighting with our record label to get that released, so we just started putting out covers because they couldn't tell us no.
So one of the online questions here, I think I know the answer to this for a lot of you, but biggest influences in 1, 2, 3.
You want them all at once? I don't think it's the same.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
Yeah, it's not what you think.
Okay.
I know what you think.
I know. And I was going to ask you a follow-up question afterwards.
It's the Pork Tornadoes.
It's the Pork Clearly.
Dude, they're getting so much. They're getting plugged so hard on this show. Yes. They're going to be the next biggest band and be like, wow, From Ashes to New really blew us up.
They love us. Let's go on tour with them.
Wait, is the guy on the left John from Skillet?
A little bit.
It's a side band.
It's Jan from Skillet. Do you want to go first? We'll just go down the line again. This works.
Go that way.
Go that way. Danny, you go first.
Avenged Sevenfold.
Sinister Gates for me.
Eminem.
And then I'll say Linkin Park for.
See, that, I wouldn't.
That, say that was the one.
That was the one I was waiting for.
I knew. Yeah, I knew it.
I'll give it to you. There's others, but Linkin Park, I would say, is the one that just like kind of merged both together.
It's crazy, like the influence that they had on everything
and everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, cross genre, they had so much influence. And see, I asked that question, which was a legit question, to then get that answer to then ask you what you guys think of the new Linkin Park.
Honestly, I haven't fully checked it out.
It's definitely different. There's no way that they were going to please everybody. Like if they go out and find somebody who's just going to sound like Chester, there's something weird about that. But and then also going and finding someone completely different, that's also going to piss people off. And so it's like they weren't going to please everybody. So they did what they felt like in the long run could keep them as an evolving band, I think. So good for them. It's definitely different. I mean, the songs are good. It just doesn't feel like what we're used to when it comes to Linkin Park. So I think that can be odd at times. You're like, wait, this is Linkin Park. And you're like, it doesn't feel like it, but it's like it, but it is.
But it
and
is.
That's
it's
what
still
they're gonna,
Mike.
That's what they're doing, and that's what they're moving forward with. So they have some good songs so far.
Yeah, no, I like the two that they have out so far. All right,
I have a few opinions on that.
Go for it. I'm going to walk over here while you share opinions.
I agree with Danny. I fell out of Linkin Park like as a really big fan after Meteora. So, like, I mean, they had really good songs after that. But I think if it's your band, you can do whatever you want with it. I'm glad that they didn't ask to use Danny. That's something that I'm really happy about because they very well could have, because Danny is in that vein and he's a very strong singer in our industry. So that could have been a thing, and I'm glad that it wasn't. And I want to go back to the previous question about the influence that Linkin Park had, because obviously that was what you thought the collective answer was going to be. And when I started From Ashes to New in 2013, because I had already been kind of over my Linkin Park era, because Meteora was kind of the end of my Linkin Park era, Hollywood Undead was actually the biggest influence to what I was doing at that time. Because Linkin Park was like, Hybrid Theory and Meteora was so edgy, with the exception of a few songs from like Minutes to Midnight and stuff like that. But those albums were so angsty, and I was such an angsty teenager. Like, they hit so hard, and I'm sure I'm speaking for so many people out there when you talk about those two records. And then I heard Hollywood Undead, and I was like, whoa, this is like angsty Linkin Park on steroids. These guys are angry. And I was angry at that point. So Hollywood Undead was the biggest influence, but Linkin Park can do whatever they want. It's their band.
So yesterday I got to host iRock for an hour, and I had two of your guys' songs on my playlist, but I couldn't play Dead to Me because of the swear words. but I did get to play Hate Me Too. And every time I think of that song, all I could think of is your friend that couldn't make it to the barbecue, but
Doug. Doug. Yes, her name is Doug.
Doug. Nice. What was the influence behind Dead to Me?
That's a good question. I think we just wanted a song that was just like you were just like so over somebody, like, and was like, what's the most visceral way that you can say that? Just like, you're dead to me. And so that was, I don't remember how the beginning of that song like was incepted. Like, what did it start with? A riff? Did it start?
It was a riff.
It started with your riff.
It was the riff that we recorded at my house, and it ended up in the maybe folder. So we have folders. We have yes, maybe, no, and Danny's riffs. Because Danny just...
There'll be a 3-second thing.
He's got a song right now that sounds like Donkey Kong. That's not a lie. But Dead to Me was a riff. And we were at the end of like creating the record, and we didn't have like a couple songs. And that was one of the ones we were like, hey, we should write to this. So it was like Danny's idea. Like something that was super like... We hate you, or I hate you. Like, but how can we say that in the worst way? Oh, like, you're dead to me. And the swearing thing, we realized after, I think, we're like, man, we drop F-bombs in every song on this record. I mean, that comes from a place, though, like, that we wrote that record in 2020 and 2021. Like, who didn't want to drop an F-bomb in 2020 and 2021, right? That was, I mean, it's because of those years, it's the new the. You know what I mean? It's not even...
Yeah,
I'm going to
drop an F-bomb right now.
I ain't going to be mad at it.
So, yeah, I mean, we were super pissed. We wrote pissed off songs. This next record is going to be smooth jazz.
It turns out you can still drop an F-bomb.
Splash of polka. Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to go fawn and say one of you guys has to be replaced in your band. Like, Chester had to be replaced.
Oh, but Jesus. I was like, what's happening?
Let's say,
Are you dividing us right now?
What ifs? Let's go down the line and say you're coming up to a show and one of you guys can't play. Can't play drums, can't play guitar, can't sing. who would be your ideal replacement for one show to play drums, play guitar, sing? Who do you want to take your place for one show?
My guitar tech would be awesome because he's a really big dude and he looks like he'd be a famous rapper. So that'd be hilarious him coming out and playing rapper. Metal guitar, but he looks like a rapper.
Perfect.
He's like 6'4", 350. Like he's like
no, he's 280.
Okay, whatever. How do you know that?
He's just talked about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're friends, man.
I thought you were playing football or something. You guys.
I would say for me it's unrealistic, but I would love. Well, besides Joey, my drum tech, because he rips. But I would say Travis Barker because that would just it'd be kind of sick.
I'm gonna go with my rap tech.
Rap
that doesn't exist.
It should.
So there's okay. There's a few people I would love NF to. I'd be like, yo, dude, take my job. All right, let me stay home. That'd be sick. But I think that the most fitting would be either Charlie or Johnny from Hollywood Undead. They would probably be the most fitting for what I do.
This is going to sound incredibly conceited, but I have no idea who could sing my parts live. It is a pain in the ass for me, and most I don't know that most men could do it. So like,
what about that chick from Linkin Park? Do you think she
right? Like that's like the only.
Hey.
I would love for M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold to fill in. He's got a great range.
Dude, if he did your vocals, though, he'd have to get vocal surgery again. Guaranteed. Like, I don't know how you do some of the stuff that you do, man. He has a vice grip in his pocket that pinches his balls while he's singing.
That's the secret?
No, he just hangs from it.
Industry secrets right there. Where was the... Oh, well, I should say that Bray and Moline sent this one. Where was the coolest venue you have ever played?
The Rust Belt.
Whoop.
I'm just kidding. He was from Moline. That's why I said it.
Good that you remember that, though. That's good.
You guys say it?
You can say it. Lance, speak for you and I.
It doesn't exist anymore, right? Studio Coast in Tokyo.
Oh.
Jesus. What?
One of those places.
Danny just went 1943.
Breaking news. Japan is gone.
My people.
You're going to get this canceled.
Venue in Tokyo. So that was the coolest place for you guys.
Yeah.
Super. Agree on the M's here?
I mean, there's some haven't done spots. That either. There's some sick spots over there. Rock and Roll.
Yeah, there's
Parker.
Some sick stuff in Germany.
Coolest place we've played. What's the cool place we've played?
You like the arenas, so go with your favorite basketball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll go with the OKC Thunder arena because I was like, that was at the time I think Russell Westbrook was still on the team. So I was like, this is sick. I was like, that guy was going crazy on that team. So I'll go with that one.
There's a bunch. I've been very privileged to go across the world and see some really cool places. But a historic, like really cool one would be Red Rocks. I got to play that. So
when did you guys play that?
We did not. I did that back in 2014.
Okay.
With another band I was with.
That is new from Ashes to New Goal. For sure.
Headline.
That's one of those venues that I haven't been to, but I wouldn't care who played there. I just want to go to the venue. Like it could be smooth jazz, and I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. Like I'm in. Like that's a cool looking place right there.
First. What are the chances that we get some From Ashes to New merch, 7 buses, 2 tours, or
like that on the merch?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I don't know that we want to put it out into the universe anymore than it already is.
It's getting tough, man. It's getting tough.
We're starting to like hear noises tonight, and we're like, oh, God. Oh, God.
That could be funny, though. Do some bus t-shirts.
Would they be like, they would be like our GoFundMe to pay back all the crap we had to pay for the bus breakdowns? Yeah.
What'd the last one cost us? Just one breakdown.
Should I say it?
Sure, yeah.
$31,500.
That was the last
wake
one.
Wake your aunt up.
Yeah.
That wasn't the time where we had 5 different buses.
No, that was worse.
We'll decide after we have this conversation if we want to leave it in the recording or not. But for all of you right here, when you see the price of the ticket, that's how you know why you're paying that price of the ticket. Everything is more expensive. The venue's more expensive. The bus is more expensive. Everything is more expensive, and for you guys to be able to live to pay for the 7-month-olds, diapers, and everything else, you've got to charge a little bit more for a ticket. Like, it's hard. I get that. And the buses, I mean, it started at 2020. You know, that's when it started, of just everything just skyrocketing. And you hear from so many bands that are just like, we can't. Like, we can't do it at that price, or we just can't at all. Thank you guys for continuing to do that. And
you can leave it in,
everything.
By the way. You don't have to cut it out. I don't care. The truth of the matter is it costs a fortune to do this. It really does. Yeah. You know, it's like, regardless of what a ticket costs or what merch costs, besides all that, because sometimes we don't even, I mean, we sometimes decide the merch cost. It depends if you're the headliner or not. I mean, there's a lot of different things, intangibles, that go into play with all of those different things. But it does, like, you know, and I'm up front, and everyone that is a fan from Ashes to New knows I'm an open book. I don't hide things. It doesn't really matter to me. We're all people out there either living life or doing jobs. So it is what it is. Like, the cost of a tour like this, in the position that we're in for what, how 9 weeks? Is that what it is?
Yep,
is like about that. $300,000. And that's without having a $31,500 issue on top of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's if it goes smoothly, and God forbid it runs off the rails, because the cost ends up going up. I mean, you miss a show, that's like not going to work for a week. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a lot. It really is. It's difficult to do this job at any level, you know, whatever level you're at, especially as fuel prices surge and things get out of control. You know, you think like, it's double the price for fuel than what it was pre-pandemic. You know what I mean? So it's like, you take a $20,000 fuel charge is what it would probably cost to run a bus. Now it's a $40,000 fuel charge. So yeah, it's insane. So I appreciate everybody. You know, everyone works really hard. I get it. And I know that money's, I say this on stage too. Like, I know money's really tight with everybody. Like, and I know that everyone's like, all right, is it milk or is it a t-shirt? You know what I mean? So it's like, I appreciate that sometimes it's the t-shirt, because that's how I get my milk. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, it's difficult. It's hard for everybody. And I think that we're all just out here lifting each other up, really. And that's what's happening, is like, you know, it goes both ways. And I think that the concert is the therapy for all of us.
You say it on stage. Anytime I get to go up there and introduce anything, I say the same thing. You could be anywhere tonight. You chose to be here, spending your money, having your therapy, having your good time here with music. And I appreciate it a ton.
Well, it's, I mean, I think like the concert thing is like, it's euphoric. Like, you get to leave reality for a little bit, right? Like, and it's not like, for me, like, I'm sober, so like, I don't have like other ways to leave reality. You know what I mean? Like, I leave reality on stage. As soon as I'm on stage, like, everything else in the world, it doesn't exist anymore. It's just that moment. And I've been jaded in the industry. Like, you know, you're playing with your favorite artists and traveling with your favorite artists and seeing them 100 times, you know, a year or whatever. Like, you kind of get jaded to the experience that you guys have. And when we went and played Aftershock in Sacramento, and I went out, and I haven't seen Falling in Reverse since we've toured with them in like
2019.
I hadn't seen them. So I went out, and like, when they came on stage, I got that same feeling that you guys get. I was like, oh wow, this is so sick. Like, because he's done things to such a cool level. Like, it's awesome to witness the growth of like his show and his, you know, WWE personality that he has, and like, you know, all that stuff. Like, it's cool, regardless of what your thought is on the guy, like the product and the way that he has scaled it, to me, as someone who is into that nerd aspect of like the behind the scenes stuff, it's cool to witness that. And that goes with any other band, that if I can go out to front of house, like, who did we go see? Bad Omens. Like, Bad Omens in front of house was like, wow. And to have that, then I see where you guys are at, and I'm like, oh, this is so sick. And it reminds me of why we're all doing this. We're doing this because it's an escape from reality. And regardless of what your escape is and what your thought is on a band or an individual, it still is an escape, even if you're mad or you're happy.
That was a good way to end it. Unless any of you have one more question, I got to walk all the way back here, and I've got the mic in my hand. It's your last chance.
Do you guys have any certain or specific pre or post show rituals that you guys do?
Yeah. We used to say specific things before we would go on stage and a chant.
Oh, yeah.
Random. But now it's random, depending on the day of the week and the city.
Yeah, we do a little huddle right before we go on stage. Mm-hmm. While Backstreet Boys is playing, at the end, we have a chant. We, like they said, do it random now. Make something up every day, specific for the day. Could be something funny that happens.
Clearly, today is going to be pork tornadoes.
We have another ritual.
Yeah, I think today it's got to be pork tornadoes.
Pork tornadoes. Yes.
That'll be pork tornadoes on three.
Then the end of our ritual is we all fist bump each other and we say all right, but in an incredible incredibly heavy Australian accent.
All right.
It makes it sound like deaf seals.
All right.
It sounds ridiculous. Yeah. So if you can hear us backstage, I don't know if that's possible. Like, you just hear a bunch of deaf seals, that's us.
Yeah.
When you started to say fist bump, I thought you were going to say we all fist each other.
Back to fisting. I'd say an hour before the show, I have a practice kit that gets set up, and I use that, and I warm up, listen to music, kind of get my head into it a little bit, as well as my body ready for it. So,
right now I struggle with my hair because I don't get haircuts on the road anymore. It's not something because I'm so used to getting it so screwed up. So my hair is really long right now, and I still got like 2 weeks. Nope, sorry. I love you, but no. My wife is a hairdresser, so and she's been cutting my hair for like 17 years. So it's super specific. If there's like one piece out of place, I know it, and I'm so OCD, it drives me crazy. I'm like, oh God, and they don't want to hear it, so I just let it grow long.
Anything else before we say goodbye?
We'll take one more.
Oh, one more
or zero more.
I got one.
Oh, he's got one right there.
Since we're in this lovely place that used to be a funeral home.
This lovely room of death.
What do you guys want to do with your bodies when you die?
Whoa.
Whoa.
What do I want someone else to do with my body when
Whoa.
I die?
Right. Technically, it is somebody else.
Yeah.
Technically, it is somebody else doing something with
like
your
they
body.
They got new things, like you could like become a tree.
I've seen that. I like those.
What, is it just plant you been like under a tree or something?
Like yeah. It's a pod.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they plant you underneath a tree, so then the tree uses your body as like
it's giving me anxiety
to grow.
Oh.
You can be an oak tree.
I don't know. I don't want some dickhead to come cut me down. Just minding my business.
They'll come and just carve FATN in there and with a heart might around hurt. It.
Might hurt.
It might. That's true. We don't know.
I can answer this a bunch of weird ways. I'm just going to go with cremate me. That's easy.
Can people be turned into fireworks? I'd love to be a firework.
Yeah, they can.
That would be
fireworks. They can.
Really? That's a thing?
There's totally nothing weird about that, but yeah, you can do it.
And just rain down on everyone.
Like just a bunch of kids. Out there like, yeah! There's Danny! It says Danny in the firework.
Yeah, there you go.
Danny, you don't want someone to cut you down, but you want someone to blow you up. That makes total sense.
It's for all the years that he spent blowing us up.
Yeah.
Take away from whatever you want.
I would say cremation as well. I honestly wouldn't
this
want to
This is morbid.
Spot.
It is.
What about you, Lance?
I don't know. I asked the question. I didn't think about it, but I guess if I'm you could cremate me and put me into a giant fist.
You don't want to be a cat.
Oh, full circle again.
And then is that the firework that gets blown up?
A cat litter.
I can see you being cat litter.
Yeah, but then I get used for 3 days and toss
What about
it.
In a bag of catnip? Then okay. You get inhaled yes. into your favorite cat.
Yes, and then I nice. Become cat poop in the cat litter.
What if you like... Was it
now embalming? We're talking about abusing animals.
Was it like the taxidermy stuff? Just put me on the wall?
Jeez.
Playing drums?
Is there a specific part of you that should be more taxidermied than the rest?
All, yes.
All of it.
The center part.
Just talking about your legs.
Right behind the drum kit, right?
Yeah.
Just prop you up there. Just there he is.
That would be sick. Like, you ever see those, like, drum kits in museums where it's got, like, a fake drummer on it?
Yeah.
It's usually the guy from, like, the Blues Brothers or whatever. Like, he's, like, on it. Do that with Maddie, but actually Maddie.
But it's actually me.
It was like, oh, yeah, it's just a wax. No, shit.
It's like, this is a From Ashes to New Museum. Look at that. Look at all the cool wax Maddie. Little did you know.
It's me.
It's actually you.
His eyes follow you around the room.
Yeah, they're like the concave ones. Yeah. So it actually follows you as you move around.
It's actually cool. You wearing Maddie's skin sitting at
what?
Let's make this really weird. House it's of a Thousand Corpses weird.
It's something Captain about this Spalding. Building that's doing it to us.
We started with fisting. We'll end with, you know, being
wearing each other's skin.
Unless anyone else wants to end it different.
Are we high snackers?
Nope, then we're done. Give it up for From Ashes to New.
This has been your Power Hour.